Hey, what's up, everyone? Today is Thursday, March 28th, 2024. Welcome to Big Screens and TV Streams, live from the Grand Forks Best Source Studios. I'm Dale. Joined alongside Paul, he's in production, he'll be with us momentarily, and also with us every other week here, every other Thursday at 1 p.m. Mr. Victor, welcome.
How's it going, guys?
Heck yeah. Dude, ready to talk some movies. The summer movie season is inching closer and closer with every episode. Usually it kind of kicks off unofficially in April. Usually that's when all the big ones start coming, and then it's just nonstop till about like August, September.
Oh yeah, it's getting there. And seasons are changing just like movies are changing. Pop culture is changing, and everything's starting to change a little bit. Are we getting a little twistery today? I think so, because...
Dude, with the crazy, just fluctuating weather we've had here the last couple weeks.
Oh, absolutely.
20s and teens 1 week, 40s and 50s the week before, who knows?
This is more crazier than the remake of Twister.
Oh, gosh. Ba-boom, pa-cha. Oh, wait, no, that was wrong. Oh, there. No, just kidding.
Every time.
Oh,
tough,
I love it.
Tough crowd.
No, gosh. Yeah, I am actually legitimately stoked for the remake of Twister. Oh, gosh. Yeah, you can find us live every other Thursday at 1 p.m. here. Starting a little late. We were just a little behind the ball on this one, but we got a ton of stuff. It will be worth it because we prepped up a ton of great stuff for you today. We're going to be talking about a lot of great movies and shows. Roadhouse, the X-Men 97 season launch episodes. Wrapping up our discussion on Halo Season 2. Revisiting Superman Returns and so much more. If we want to hear what you guys have to say in the comments there. We got the chat room is live. It is open. So if you're watching on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, feel free to chime away in the chat there. We want your questions and comments. We want to hear what you guys have to say. Or call or text in your questions or comments. 701-213-0863. And producer Paul's joining me right across from me. How's Paul today?
Now I can hear you.
Oh, hey, now you can hear me. Gosh, jam-packed show today. Ton of stuff to talk about. I guess before we get too far, we should probably get a shout-out to our first sponsor of the show, River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Go ahead and make them your next dinner and a movie destination. Now, you can either dine inside the movie memorabilia, a packed restaurant, the Shire, or you can take your meal to go to the movie you're attending if you want to mix it up from the standard popcorn fare. We know they got some killer sandwiches there, especially the grilled cheese variety, and so many great burgers. Awesome menu. Some of this week's featured attractions at the River Cinema 15. Opening tonight, Godzilla versus Kong. Oh my gosh. And then that'll be in full daily showtime starting tomorrow. Also playing is Imaginary, Ordinary Angels, Arthur the King, and so many more films. You can find the complete showtimes online on their website, rivercinema15.com. Don't forget about their Tuesday specials, $5 movies all day long, and the senior matinee specials on Wednesdays and Thursdays for $5.50. You can see in the video behind me, River Cinema has luxury recliners, and their concessions now serve adult beverages, and the theater is family-owned and operated. So check them out, River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Okay, a couple of quick news items just to kind of how we kick things off every show here. I don't know if you guys saw these. They had some new trailers and release dates that were just revealed over the past week here. This was so much fun. I think last year some of our favorite, or maybe a year and a half ago now, some of the favorite episodes we've done here on Big Screens and TV Streams was our weekly House of Dragons and... Rings of Power. Doing those weekly episode breakdowns because they're pretty much going week by week concurrently for most of their seasons. But they announced season two of House of Dragons launching on HBO and streaming on Max on June 16th. It'll be 8 episodes, and they did 2 trailers. One for Rhaenyra. I'm probably pronouncing your name wrong. It's been a little while. And another one on Prince Daemon and their Dragonstone forces. So, it's good. The season will begin the Targaryen Civil War, also known as the Dance of Dragons. Have any of you had a chance to hear about season two of House of Dragons yet?
I have heard a little bit about it, but not very much. It's an expensive show.
Yes,
so
it's CG.
So it's been a long time since we've heard from Mr. of the Targaryen family. So I'm very interested to see if they're actually going to fight instead of using politics. I know politics has been a big thing in Game of Thrones and House of Dragons, but hopefully they will do the fighting just like in Game of Thrones. So, yes.
Paul, pretty stoked for season two, House of Dragons?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember if Because I only kept up with House of Dragons, but you guys both kept up with House of Dragons and Rings of Power. I'm trying to remember. It's been like a year and a half, almost 2 years now since that wrapped. Their seasons wrapped up. If I remember right, you guys were a little bit more positive on Rings of Power.
I liked it a
lot
more.
Or a lot more. Yeah.
Yeah. Rings of Power is a lot better.
Have they announced when season two of Rings of Power is happening? Have you guys heard anything about it?
Nothing really. There hasn't been anything like more specific. Just like, you know, Invincible. It came, and, you know, they're still keeping it hush-hush. They're keeping everything hush-hush
Nailed
now.
A surprise drop. It's out now.
Again.
We're canceling plans. Rings of Power tonight. Would you do that if all of a sudden Amazon Prime was like, guys, guess what? Rings of Power season two launches tonight. 2-episode, 3-hour premiere.
Depends on what, because if they hold out, I know that Lord of the Rings has held out a lot over the years and they have delivered on countless times, but you know what, if it came down to it, yeah, I would do it.
So the other new trailer that dropped and launch release date revealed was Netflix new trailer for, I completely forgot this was in the works, but animated remake for The Good Times launching April 12th, and so that's just what, a couple weeks out. It's very R-rated, adult oriented, and R-rated animation. So no surprise, it's coming from Seth MacFarlane. He's one of the executive producers on the show, and the showrunner is Renanda Shepherd. And yeah, so new look at the Evans family through Seth MacFarlane and Renanda Shepherd. Has this remake of The Good Times on Netflix been on either of your radars?
Knowing Seth MacFarlane, he's been pretty busy over the years, so I love Seth MacFarlane. Anything Seth MacFarlane does is hilarious.
Well, a new season of Orville. Come on, it's been a while. Yeah.
I mean, Seth MacFarlane's crazy. I love him. So.
So, yeah, those are your opening news items, and with that out of the way, we are just going to kick things off with our first review. I think, Paul, you've seen this. This has been on my radar. Have yet to see it. It's streaming on Amazon Prime Video. Victor, did you say you saw this yet? Roadhouse, the new remake with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, there you go. So Roadhouse, new remake of the, 1989 Patrick Swayze, bar bouncer, keeper of the peace.
God rest his soul.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. And, yeah, there you can see there's Jake Gyllenhaal and one and only Conor McGregor. So they kind of twisted up a little bit. So besides being a bar bouncer, Jake Gyllenhaal on the side is a UFC fighter. So the IMDb synopsis for this is ex-UFC fighter Dalton takes a job as a bouncer at a Florida Keys roadhouse only to discover that the paradise is not all that it seems. Paul, Victor, take it away.
Oh, what can I say? I love Jake Gyllenhaal is incredible. I love him. He's so amazing. However, you don't belong in this.
Ooh.
In this. No. Now hear me out. I think that Jake Gyllenhaal is my boy. I've loved his career for years. He's such a great actor. However, this remakes today, I will say, they're not bad. They're touching on different, you know, times and different characters, and that's fine. But I think it'd be better if you just give him something to really sink his teeth in. Remakes are just, you know, and this. And Conor McGregor, you're a fighter, man. What are you doing? Ever since that whole bout with, you know, with Floyd Mayweather now, and then your whole the whole Jake Paul thing. And
going for the publicity of fights.
Yeah, like, you know, he could... He could go all the way.
I did see a preview because don't they build up for a big Jake or Dalton? No, Jake Gyllenhaal playing the same name that Patrick Swayze played Dalton. He's fighting Conor McGregor in the movie, right? A big UFC fight scene.
Yes, but in the first movie he didn't fight. He fought people to keep out of the bars. This is just a UFC to try to prove yourself kind of thing. Look. Conor McGregor, we love you. You're a great fighter, but this is not the way to go, my friend. Publicity stunts and all that, that's your thing. Movies? No.
So, safe to say, both of you guys keep the original Roadhouse pretty high regard.
I mean, it's Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't use a term like Roadhouse. You know, there's three things you do in Roadhouse, okay? You never, ever take a fight. You take a fight outside of the bar. Any fight you have in a bar is going to get rowdy and nuts, so that's why you take it outside the bar, because the bartenders are not going to give a shit if you take it outside the bar, because, again, it's outside the bar. Number two, you always always make sure people are safe and sound. Make sure every patron's good and good. And then the third and course of Roadhouse, rules of Roadhouse, be nice. But this didn't follow, you know. This didn't follow.
This movie had nothing to do with Roadhouse.
Yeah, sorry.
Very little.
They should have had a totally different name. They just, you know, use this to try to sell tickets, taking the franchise of, you know, the Patrick Swayze movie.
Sorry.
I mean, yeah. Conor McGregor, he's obviously, like, doing steroids. And he's walking around trying to act like a, you know, tough psychopath. Didn't pull it off. Jake Gyllenhaal is trying to act like a UFC fighter. Didn't pull it off. I mean, he was just basically, I'm just a cocky guy, you know, that supposedly was, you know, in the ring, and I'm like Bruce Lee, you know, so.
Which no one can ever be.
You know, and they tried to incorporate some comedy into it with his fighting. I mean, some of the fight scenes were fairly good, but, you know, they made it into, you know. The original Roadhouse movie was, yeah, he was a bouncer and he was there to clean it up, to get out the, you know, the people that were causing trouble and everything. And, you know, there was a main villain, you know, kind of like a gangster.
But not like this one, though.
I mean, this was just...
They're trying to switch it up a little bit too much.
This was just silly on so many levels that it was just like, what is even going on? I mean, it was fairly entertaining.
Plus, it didn't help when he tried to promote, like, he went into an octagon. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal went into an octagon. And like Paul said, I didn't understand this. I was like, is he a UFC fighter? I thought he was an actor, but I was like, oh, he's promoting.
Well, and I thought he was supposed to be clearing, like he said, like, getting this bar.
Yeah.
And you find out, I mean, that's what, like, the start of the movie is.
Yeah, exactly.
So the first 30 minutes, you know, 30, 40 minutes, that's kind of what they go into. But then after that, it just goes completely off the rails.
Yeah.
And has nothing even to do with the bar.
Yeah, not even and close.
Yeah, I mean...
just because of an afterthought.
Yeah. Yeah, this movie was just... I don't know. I would give it...
I love Connor. Love Jake. Jake is my boy. But... not the movie for them.
So
I'm sorry.
If you think they wouldn't have called this Roadhouse and they would have changed up the names, make it a completely different, just no connections to the original film, would you think this have been a passable movie then? It probably might.
It would have been entertaining enough, but it was disgraceful to the original movie.
Yeah, like
no, I absolutely hear where you're coming. So you can't help but wonder then what that. You know, Jake Gyllenhaal and all the other cast and crew that met, they're probably, you know, just as diehard fans of the original. Probably you had to think they would have known, or maybe it was shot one thing and cut another way. If they would have saw what the final cut was, you think they probably would have went to the Amazon Prime saying, this is doing the original dirty. We can't have this.
And they made the Jake Gyllenhaal character just ridiculous. It was like he was trying to be like Iron Man.
Yeah.
You know,
he's And Jake Gyllenhaal is, like I said, I don't like when they put actors in movies that don't fit their criteria. You got to give him something to work with, like sink his teeth into. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Otherwise, he's just a one note character looking around saying, "Oh, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do."
Victor, I'm usually with you too. It's like, yeah, love Jake Gyllenhaal. He's in usually way more hits than misses.
Yeah, and that's why I'm like.
Conor McGregor's acting prowess just came to him walking like this through the whole movie.
Very one note.
Yeah.
Well, but that's the thing, though. They always do this to athletes. They did this to Shaquille O'Neal. They did this. Michael Jordan, he at least tried in Space Jam. You could say all you want, but at least he tried Space Jam. But this is the same thing. Like, even...
they tried to get him to go outside their lanes. Maybe they are only good at one lane, but they... No, you're trying to do way too much.
Yeah, like you don't need to be a musician or an actor or this and that. You can be whatever you want to be. No one's saying you can. Just like Conor McGregor just needs to stop sometimes because his cockiness gets the best of him, and this is the result of his cockiness. So, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it looks like on the critic aggregates there, Rotten Tomatoes sounds like it's pretty down. Not as down as like I'm surprised so far. Like 61% critic aggregate, audience 56%, so still pretty in the middle there. So final thoughts on Roadhouse from both of you.
I love them both. I've always have just pick a different movie.
Yeah, not pick this one. Movie.
Not this
if one. If you're going to watch Roadhouse, watch the original.
Stick with the original.
Yeah.
Did you guys felt like you had to cleanse yourself after seeing the remake? Be like, I'm watching the original. I can't.
Like I said, it had nothing to do with the original. Yeah, I mean, all they did is they just slapped the name on it and gave the main character the same name as the original one. Yeah. I mean, this movie has absolutely nothing to do with the original Roadhouse movie.
Yeah,
and they just ripped off a couple of things.
Yeah, not even to mention... You can do whatever you want with remakes, but nothing beats the original because number one has one true super weapon in the original one. Sam Elliott. Gauntlet dropped. Sorry. You can't beat Sam Elliott. His rough wisdom, they didn't have that in there. Are you kidding me? Yeah, you're done. I'm sorry.
And they were trying to make it like a UFC fighter. Like I said, this isn't working. You can take on, you know, an entire army because you was in the octagon.
Yeah, that's, you know, which is not true. I'm sorry.
There you go.
Like, you're a good fighter and all that, but it's like you can't
tell. The original Roadhouse, I mean, they at least made his like fighting skills realistic.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and a one-on-one thing in the bar, like he had some martial arts skills and he could take care of it.
Yeah.
This one, I mean, he's like, oh, there's 10 of you. I hope you got insurance. Like,
oh,
well,
gosh.
Get the fuck out of
here. Yeah. No, at least Patrick Swayze, when he got hurt, he's like, the stitching doesn't hurt. The cut doesn't hurt. I mean, the cut hurts, but the stitching doesn't hurt.
Even the macho talk one-liners are not doing it. Gosh, yes. So it sounds like safe to say Roadhouse, hard pass.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, it's not a hard pass. It's an entertaining enough movie.
Yeah,
it's just stupid.
Yeah, it's not
just
bad.
It's just stupid entertaining. That's it.
Stupid entertaining. Gotcha. All right, there you go. Moving on. Keep this train rolling along. Got a couple more reviews here. Another streamer on Disney Plus, X-Men 97. So I completely forgot this was coming out. It just hit streaming like a week or two ago. So I think we all kind of grew up with, share the same love. We probably mentioned it on the shows in the past. The mid-90s, I think from 92 to 97. Yes. Oh my gosh, that theme song. We are talking about the 1992-97 X-Men the Animated Series, kicking off our Saturday mornings, right?
Are you kidding me? Previously on X-Men.
Yes. Oh, gosh. And so Disney announced they were bringing it back, and I think they brought it back in comic book form like several years back, right? They did an X-Men 97 like comic run or something?
They did for San Diego Comic-Con. They brought it back in comic book, a little bit comic book-ness, but they only did this for... So I understand a little bit of what they were trying to do. I do have my things for it, but otherwise, I mean, at least I will say this. Out of many adaptations... The 90s really kicked off what was supposed to be not only phenomenal, but this one was a I love the continuation. Yeah,
it's picking up right where it left off.
Yeah, like it didn't stop. And so I do appreciate that.
I was kind of looking into it, too. Like, they brought back as much of the original voice actors as they could. I saw Cal Dodd returns as Wolverine. Mm-hmm. Chris Potter's back as Gambit. I'm probably going to pronounce a couple of these wrong. George Buzza is back as Beast. It's so many more. They had a couple have passed away over the years and are no longer with us. So they got a new voice actor for Cyclops and a new one for Magneto. But they brought back as many as they could.
What's the deal with this? I mean, are they just
It's picking up the plot right where it left off in 1997. Yeah. Like 24, so, was it? Yeah, 24 years later.
Yeah, yeah. So when in the 90s, because, and for some stupid reason.
But it has Morph.
Yeah, Morph.
Morph is dead. Morph is dead, and he's no longer where he was supposed to be dead in the original one.
I rewatched the original series several years ago, and even just as recent as several years ago, I lost track. They killed him off. They brought him back. They killed him off. They brought him back. But he's here at least in the first two episodes I saw this new run. He's back.
Because he was supposed to be dead. So when he was supposed to go, so Mystique was imitating him when he was trying to assassinate President Kelly. And then, of course, after he got killed by one of the Sentinels, then Mystique was, you know, impersonating him for a while. And then, like you said, they brought him back. They killed him off. Yeah. And that was like, it didn't make any sense.
I was just like, all right, Morph is back. Sure. I couldn't not honestly remember if I want to say he was still there when X-Men season 5 wrapped up,
except for that time when he took on when Mr. Sinister was taking like Scott and Jean, which is the clone, well, that's not really Jean, it's Madeline Pryor, which is her clone, they were taking mutants and mutating them into like little pods so that he could create a new race that they could all be his slaves, which didn't make sense because, again, they killed off Morph on that.
If people missed out on that original X-Men, the animated series, the entire original run is on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Probably
that's why I'm not watching this. I would love to watch this, but I'm not watching it on Disney.
Yeah,
that's a buzzkill. I'm surprised they didn't try and put this on Hulu. You think this would be do just as good on there?
And I'm sure that they're going to ruin it by putting some woke bullshit in it.
They have. And it's only okay. So like with the animation style, okay, I got to tell you, that's my only gripe with it.
You can see they kind of carry over the similar animation style from the 90s. I'm sure you could point out like a lot of minute differences, but at least to me, I'm like, wow, this seems like the very similar. I'm not going to say exact animation style from the 90s.
I've seen a bunch of posts on Facebook saying that they completely removed Rogue's ass.
Yeah, sorry. that was my first. That's going to be my first thing right there.
I do remember seeing that comparison shot now, like a few weeks ago. That's right.
The thing is that, again, this is the 90s, man. And as a kid of the 90s, like, that was it right there. A woman's features, that was it. That was a comic book style. Back in the early, like, I want to say late to early, like mid to late 90s, like those, like that was like even Storm's hair. It was flowing in the wind. It was like, you know, Hera, come on. Like it was literally, it was like flowing in the wind when she was, you know, blowing everybody away. Rogue's ass was right there and just like she had womanly features. Like Wolverine was gritty. Like the 90s was gritty. This is not as gritty as it should. I know you only touched it up, like, for example, like when they did Bishop's hair, and I know you can't see him in there, but Bishop...
Oh, he's tucked away in there.
Yeah, if you can see, like, his hair was supposed to be long, like, really long. They made it short, and not to mention, like, they gave Storm a mohawk.
Yeah.
Why would you give her a mohawk?
They definitely did, like, some little character tweaks there, but I was talking about, like, animation style, one for one.
No, but that's what I'm talking about. They only did it to draw it more easier. That's the thing about animation. It's not supposed to be easy. Do you think when they did Transformers, the movie, that it was easy every step of the way? No. They had to keep literally drawing the same thing over and over to get that shot right. And even with this, like, the animation style, it's pretty, I don't know, just it seems watered down.
I was nostalgic for it. I was like, okay, watching the first two episodes that were out, I was like, okay, this just kind of seems how I remember. It's kind of having the same animation style from, again, I'm not nitpicking the like individual features about Rogue and one. I'm just talking about like the actual style of like coloring and like animation doing.
About this too. I don't know if anybody is seeing something that it's missing, even in both the cover art and this.
What are you looking at here?
Is there somebody that's missing?
There is such a huge cast.
Let's see, because no.
Oh, Professor Xavier.
Professor Xavier.
In the original animated series, they killed him off at the end, so that they're kind of picking up where they left off, where Professor Xavier is dead, or is he, or isn't he? We'll see how the episodes expand. So
So he wasn't in the original poster that was like that, so which is kind of weird because he should have been in there because
it's about him.
Well, it's more about like just
his X-Men,
vision.
Yeah,
his vision, but like for them to continue on. But I really think they should have put him in there.
So why don't we focus on the story here? So they're like, Professor Xavier's dead. Where do we go? So it's, you know, Cyclops and Jean Grey, who's now pregnant, by the way. So
which is good.
So they're expecting a child. They're debating on leaving the X-Men to embrace parenthood. And then all of a sudden,
that would be Cable, correct?
Yes, that was Cable. That is their son. Yep, that is their son.
And then all of a sudden, Magneto comes in to claim, like, hey, Professor Xavier left me the X-Men in his will and the mansion and everything. So that's kind of your big setup for the first episode there, without giving too much away. And then the X-Men have kind of like a new recruit, maybe, this Roberto. And Victor, you probably know more about him than I do.
See, and this is the weird thing about, like, the new recruits. Like, because there are other X-Men. See, when they did this series, I feel like they... Like, first of all, Colossus should be in there. Colossus is has been one of the X-Men for years.
See some of them later on.
You do, but they're doing their own thing, which is fine.
Well, the X-Men cast is so huge. Like, the original show, like only had some of the like big X-Men over the years only in small like recurring character roles.
So I would say that I disagree with you because Colossus, even though he is an X-Men, he wasn't an original student.
No, it
of was Xavier's. He was one of the people that got kind of brought on later on when he was already an adult.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't classify him as an original X-Men. No, he's not an original. No, I won't say he's original X-Men. I would say he came in probably in his, I want to say, mid to adult years, because when he was recruited, they actually, because what was it?
Oh,
he,
and if they bring him in, you know that Disney is going to make him gay.
Oh, well, it wouldn't be the first time, considering that there are a lot of gay mutants in
oh, no, they already tried to do this whole gay love story thing with Colossus, even in the comic books.
Oh, yeah, but see, they did that with Bobby, you know, who, a.k.a. Iceman, who is not gay at all, but whatever. Again, they
I don't keep up with the X-Men comics that much currently. I've read some graphic novels over the years, but
For example, like Jubilee. Okay, so like, and this is not a secret, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't going to ruin your viewing pleasure, so please bear with us here. Okay, so like, they finally get into her origins, and it was really confusing in the comic books. But the actual short answer I will give you is that there were two kids who were just assassins, and they killed her family. And Wolverine, of course, you know, she said he said you could either, you know, kill them or not. And she chose not to. And she, you know, moved on past her vengeance and all that other stuff. And she became an X-Men. And Wolverine kind of felt sorry for her, you know, and he saw the whole ordeal go on. And he kind of was more so like letting her decide as a factor to what she wanted to do. And I thought that was very interesting because her original origin was really confusing. It was like Captain Marvel's version of origin. It was just really confusing. But anyway, yeah, that's not going to ruin your viewing pleasure. You know, pick up a... It's a comic book, guys. Like, go read one.
Oh, no. Victor, I absolutely... Big props and much respect for you being just an encyclopedia of knowledge of X-Men knowledge. We were talking a little bit before the show. You know, I've shared love of the X-Men animated series over the years, and I'm just a very, very passive, like, as far as like comic books go for X-Men fandom. I'm very, very passive. I've probably only read maybe like 70, 80, 90 issues of X-Men comics over the years through some graphic novels and picking up some occasional issues throughout over the decades. So I do not know like the granular little details for like the more minor characters.
I'm surprised Disney didn't make Cyclops pregnant.
So I was like a little surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised about that either.
and I never heard one talking about the original X-Men animated series from people over the years, or hearing other people talk about it on other review shows from throughout the decades, that no one ever brought up that, you know, for the original animated series, they changed her ethnicity that she was white. I guess I always thought she was white. So when for this X-Men 97, I'm like, hey, Jubilee's Asian.
Jubilee's always been. Yeah,
I always thought she was Mexican.
No, she was. I guess she was Asian. But here's the thing.
I had no idea.
She was adopted. So like, what a lot of people did not know is that she was Asian, but she was adopted because her parents are not Asian of descent. They were white, but they never showed them.
No, I kind of looked into it. I'm like, all right, you know, what's going on here? And her origin story in the comics is she was always Asian, and so they just updated it for the show. So yeah, I was like, oh, okay. So and then yeah. I guess the voice
leave it to Disney.
She was Mexican. I mean, she'd shoot Mardi Gras out of her fingers.
And that's the thing. Like, everybody had that. Everyone had a name to their power, which is funny that Paul mentioned this, because, like, in one of the original 90s episodes, she's like, at least you have a name that describes your power. I'm Jubilee. I fire, you know, I shoot fire out of my hands. Like, what is that? What is
a little
this?
Fireworks. Yes.
Yeah, like, oh my what God. Does that mean?
Oh, man. But, so, yeah, so... Victor, you know, besides just going over like the behind the scenes drama and whatnot, how, the first two episodes, how they played out, how do you like the actual episodes themselves?
I actually did like it, you know, and I like the continuation.
Yeah,
I will say I don't. I know Charles; he's friends with Magneto. They've been friends for years, but it is. I know Magneto. I mean, you Magneto, dude. You you got to keep an eye on him, man. Like, he, you know, Magneto, he's not going to do what Charles says. I mean, this is the same guy who was going to smash. He kidnapped President Kelly. He literally was going to take him to an abandoned ship and smash him, literally. And if it wasn't for a Sentinel saving him, he would have killed him. He's like, my people have suffered at the hands of you humans forever. And now I will not let that befall my people again. And of course, it's like, come on, even Magneto, my favorite line that he said before they actually took on the Sentinels was, he's like, it's always the fools, or what was it? It's always the good and the brave, the foolish ones to die. You know,
I mean, great memories. I think first memories of the original X-Men animated series was X-Men just beating the crap out of Sentinels, Wolverine slicing up some Sentinels' guts. Love it, and you definitely get that in the first two episodes of the show.
I can't wait till they bring in my boy, the relaunch. Juggernaut. I love, you know, my favorite ones are this, when they take on the Sentinels, but I still love when, of course, you know, they got Juggernaut, because so, I mean, I'm excited. I can't wait,
Victor,
for new
seasons. Did they drop the third episode yet? I only saw the first two. I watched them a few days ago, so.
You gotta keep watching. Yeah. They're
dropping weekly, right?
Yeah, they're dropping weekly, so like they said after the premiere, yeah, they will be dropping weekly, so I'm excited for what's gonna happen.
Me too. The episodes themselves, just playing on their own, nitpicks about how the characters look and all that aside, I'm very much digging how things are progressing, introducing this new character Roberto, see where they go with him, and I'm excited if they have us, like, the X-Men have such a deep roster of mutants to choose from. If they could just bring like a big name like a Colossus in for 1 week, or a Nightcrawler in another week, just to have like a big guest act each week, or even have them appear in like two or three episodes throughout the season, I'm all for it. So
I just hope they don't remake that episode of Nightcrawler, because that one's don't touch that one. That's good.
And they already did announce that they are in the middle of producing season two, so there is going to be a season two of this. So yeah, there you go. That's our thoughts on season two, or the first couple episodes of the relaunch of X-Men 97 there, all these years later. Glad to have it back. And yeah, well, it's 10 episodes, so 8 more to go. And yeah, so, and also, like I said before, X-Men, the animated series, the original, and the other follow-ups over the years, X-Men Evolution and Wolverine and the X-Men, are all on Disney Plus if you want to catch up with those before. So,
and mind you, they're not all going to be the same. X-Men Evolution was when they were all young, and Wolverine and the X-Men was completely different, but that's a different story on another day. So
got so much more to cover here. We're going to be talking about Halo here next, and a couple other movies we're going to be revisiting from the past here. But before we get there, we got to make sure to give some love to our friends at O for Heaven's Cakes and More, where there's nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods, and that's where O for Heaven's Cakes come in. You'll find the best cupcakes and other treats for special occasions. I know I was just there making my ritual visit last week, and I was like, it's been a while since I got a bar. I forgot how awesome their bars are. They're special K bars, date bars. They got a ton. Victor, I know you're just as much of a fan of them as I am.
Oh, yeah. Their cookies for our 4 years, man.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
Party. Oh, God. I ate every
single one. We got some awesome GFBS 4-year anniversary Shamrock cookies on St. Patrick's Day. They did not disappoint.
Oh, they were so good. Honestly, I was like, I don't want to be greedy, but like, oh my gosh.
Victor, I know you loved them. You gave them your seal of approval.
I was addicted.
So, O for Heaven's Cakes are located on the north backside of the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, and on Saturdays from 9 to noon. Give them a call, 701-757-2253, or email oforheavenscakes@yahoo.com. You know, we're only just over a month away from graduation season, and that's one of their busiest times of the year. So get your cupcake pre-orders in. They are taking them. Be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. That's O for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. Okay, so this has been one of our big weekly segments on the show the last few weeks, where this will be our last time here talking about it for a while whenever season 3 hits. But since our last show, the last two episodes of Halo season 2 have aired, episodes 7 and 8. So things have wrapped up. So Halo season 2 streaming on Paramount Plus along with season 1. And the way they kind of set it up here, so episode 7, you kind of see them. Paul, we've been talking about the last couple episodes. Want to see Master Chief in the armor, Dale. Want to see Master Chief in the armor. And I'm back in my mind, they're saving it for the final episode. And Paul, I know you had some other predictions going into these final episodes, and I had some very fun texts from you, like, I freaking called it. So, sounds to say they hit the right spots for you for the last couple episodes?
Well, I mean, said it was pretty predictable, you know, and hopefully they will make the continuation of this better. But yeah, I mean, you know, he wasn't in his armor for the entire thing, and I said,
which was crap.
They're, yeah, from like what
they're gonna wait
three through seven or so,
yeah, and then they're gonna wait until the very end, they're gonna put him in the armor, and then they're gonna bring in the flood,
yeah,
and it's exactly what they did,
yeah. Well, honestly, shit got real.
Victor, are you all caught up
and,
too? Then,
and they didn't even do the flood correctly,
shit got real,
yeah. So,
they didn't even do the flood correctly.
The flood is been a huge staple for all the Halo games, or a vast majority of them, that they went this long without the flood has just been pretty eyebrow raising. So you had to figure it was coming more sooner than later. But they kick off like the last episode. It's the very beginning where just a curiosity got the cat of a scientist, and that's how things just go crazy from there. How do you think they handled the? You said you weren't too happy with how they portrayed the flood, just kind of breaking out. The scientist gets infected and just spreads it from there.
Yeah, they didn't make the flood. They made Resident Evil.
Yeah, it seemed like more of a zombie feature almost, the way it was spreading, where it played out in the games, it definitely played out differently.
They made it feel like where the flood hit, it was kind of like it was just one and done kind of thing, like Resident Evil does, and I don't understand why they just didn't like, you know, it's a scientist thing. Is it though?
Yeah.
Is it though?
Yeah, it's just they take this. The scientist is looking at that artifact sample, and then like Commander Keyes' daughter, or Miranda Keyes, is like, you did. Oh, Victor, man down, man down. Oh no, that's not a bad omen of things to come here.
No, it wasn't.
The Master Chief has taken a tumble.
No, but honestly, I wanted to throw down the Master Chief gauntlet here for a sec, because I mean, come on, guys, this is Master Chief. Okay, I had to throw down the gauntlet. If I was holding back a little bit just because of this, but then I was like, you know what? We're gonna go all in. We're gonna go all in, okay? Master Chief, this is Master Chief. This is the man that doesn't let no motherfucker come up in his space, take his suit, and say, dude, what do you think you're doing? You're not going to take my suit. I'm going to smash you into the ground like a little, you know, bitch that you are. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to destroy the rest of your army with my army. So this is the gauntlet being thrown down.
So,
boom.
So final episode, things were starting to get quite the ensemble of cast of characters here with all the new characters introduced. And so you kind of have like a few different groups here that the series is following on this final episode. So you have Master Chief linking up with like Lopez and a few other crew kind of fighting on this big Covenant fleet and along with the Spartan Kai. And then you have Dr. Halsey, and then you have Quan Ha and Soren dealing with this flood infection and trying to be on the run from them. And then you have another little side story with, you know, kind of like Ackerson being locked up, and Halsey was kind of locked up with him too. And then you have McKee and the Arbiter kind of doing their thing, trying to find the Halo rings. So did you think that the way they split up the kind of like all these multiple arcs, got to follow this one here, this one dealing with a flood, this one dealing with the big fleet battle in space, was that pretty focused, or was it just too much to keep up with?
I mean, kind of losing the Covenant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't need to keep making different arcs for something. I mean, honestly, if you keep the story like this, you may just like, that's fine.
No,
but
yeah,
you don't need to split it up in 100 different ways, because we know where you're going. We know what you're trying to say.
Yeah, it almost seemed like they took a backseat. And they got to be a little bit ceiling. Like, I know in episode 7, you got to see the Arbiter kind of like him and McKee kind of like, all right, we're doing our own thing. Screw you guys.
What they could have done, I mean, they could completely eliminate this entire part of the series is the, I can't remember his name, but them trying to find their kid. Like, why is that even in the show?
Yeah.
Like, it has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. Kessler?
I think. Yeah, it has nothing to do with anything. They could have just...
It was just a minor subplot, but yeah.
They could just cut that entire thing and, you know, made...
Yeah, like, but honestly,
made a bigger story into the girl that's with Master Chief trying to find the Halo.
Which again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but and this is, again, spitballing here. I have never seen Master Chief or any other person, you know, I understand you're trying to find the human element. There's nothing wrong with that. But he's not a man that, like, he's
He's a man on a mission. Okay, he doesn't have time for love. Right?
Yeah,
he doesn't have time for love.
That romance plot from with McKee and Master Chief in the entire first season, that just completely felt no, this does not feel like, kind of like how you're talking about with Jake Gyllenhaal and Roadhouse earlier. You're like, no, this is not Master Chief going after a romance angle. Yeah. He never went after a romance angle in any Halo game. Yeah. So
he's like this. I'm on a mission. I got things to do. Goodbye. Yeah. Like, especially that kid. And like Paul said, with the kid, I don't know what that was like.
I didn't mind the kid's sub angle. It was such a minor subplot, and it was only in like a few episodes. I get it. Pretty much, it was just an angle to give some of the characters something to do, so they're just not standing there in the background.
Yeah,
you know, it never overstayed its welcome.
Yeah, but the other subplot, who are you?
The subplot of what's going on with that Asian chick where she's seeing, and now she's like the savior of a planet or whatever, and she keeps seeing that old lady, like, what is this? Where is this going? Like, why is this even in here?
The way I interpreted it was, you know, as long as they keep the major characters, Master Chief and all that, major core video game characters there, if they introduce new side characters, you know, if they're not taking away from the main story arcs, but, you know, flesh out the universe, introduce new characters. We've seen other licensed properties introduce new characters, like we're talking about the X-Men animated series. They introduced Morph. He was an exclusive for the show. And Batman, the animated series, they introduced Harley Quinn. That's where she made her debut. Such a big powerful force in that she became a mainstay in the comics.
Yeah, but they didn't do that in season two of an episode.
Yeah, and not to mention those characters, mind you, ladies and gentlemen, they had staying power. They knew what they were doing. They knew where they were going, and they absolutely, the biggest thing is that they were contributing to the story, not off of the story.
So now you got these like three sub-stories. Okay, so now what? We're going to wait another 2 years to find out what their plot even is?
Yeah.
And then the next season, it's like, okay, you have no character development.
Yeah,
you're going just into, you know, okay, 2 years later, now we're going to go into three different subplots of these. I mean, Halo isn't going to be running like Law and Order for 30 years. I mean, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, sorry, you're not in Law and Order. I'm sorry. Yeah. Because it's just funny because it's like when you're introduced to a character, I understand, but when you make him a one note character, just like Paul said, it's just like this kid's like, who are you? Where'd you come from? Like, you're here now. Okay, we're gonna look for you.
Okay, if we're gonna lead into the flood, why didn't we spend all of season two leading into the flood? Why did we leave it until the very last episode? There's no hints.
Wasn't like there was a gradual build.
No, it was just the very last episode.
It was just, okay, here's this infection. It's spread. They're here. I mean, cool. There's that cool shock factor wow moment, but there wasn't that. The way they built up to it, I'm with you there. That could have been handled way, way better. I definitely disagree with you on like the subplot characters, the new characters they're introducing lacking depth. They have fleshed them out a bit. Sword, you know, you're getting the whole deal with her finding their kid, but you're actually hearing him talk to Halsey a little bit, being like, oh, hey, you weren't a Spartan who deserted on your own. You had some medical stuff going on, so we had to discharge you, but you tell yourself the story you want to believe. So you actually do see some wrinkles with him. They don't have to spend a ton of time with him because he's not the main attraction. Same with some of the other characters. You get these little wrinkles on this. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's flesh out these minor characters a little bit. They don't overstay their welcome. If we see other wrinkles from them in future seasons and all that, I'm more than welcome to it. But no, I definitely, again, it's not like a huge deal breaker for me. I thought they supporting cast. That fleshed out enough. I'm not expecting a grand opera on wanting to know their encyclopedia and their entire backstory, but no, they didn't overstay their welcome. I thought they were just fine.
Okay, so tell me this. The people that were trying to find their kid, mm-hmm. What does their kid have anything to do with Master Chief, anything to do with the Halo, anything to do with the Flood, or anything to do with the Covenant?
That's what I gotta say. Gauntlet being thrown down here, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I have not kept up with the latest couple of Halo games. For all I know, this kid could actually play a big part in the last couple of Halo games. So
I guess we'll find out in season 20.
Season 20, yeah.
Apparently, because they're trying to be Law and Order.
Sure, Paul.
You'll find out when you're 80.
By the time you might get.
I think you're embellishing a little bit too much, but no, hey. I see things one way, you see things your way. We can't agree on everything, but hey, that's A-OK. I'm definitely way more positive on season two of Halo than you guys.
I, I, I,
I definitely agree with you on they could have handled the Flood a bit better there.
I bet you this is going to be like in the Star Wars debate, like all over again, like Han shot first. Yeah.
How did you like how we got to the ring planet? I guess last big takeaway from the skin you guys thought they finally get to the Halo ring planet. Another big take, just talking point for here is, and they have a big epic brawl with Arbiter and Master Chief.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty up in your face there.
That's
kind of the way that played out. I was very surprised. I thought I was going to go because it kind of played out a little differently than how it played out in the game. So yeah, that was very, very cool. And then they kind of have the nice tease where they enter the Halo ring planet mystical structure to kind of keep you on your toes for season two. And then you get the guilty 343 monitor spark, whatever you want to call it, talking to Master Chief. Another little thing to keep you a little cliffhanger or a little tease for season two. So definitely interested to see where they go from there. But yeah, hey, for me, I thought Halo season two was a win for me. Definitely sounds like you guys are a bit more mixed or not as much for either of you.
I just want to see my boy back in his gear, man. I just want to see my boy back in his gear so he kicks ass, takes names, and literally just goes on his mission. No love, no other stuff.
We'll
Master
see.
Chief.
We'll see what season three has in store.
Right on.
We'll
you
see.
Know, maybe,
yeah,
that's you know, it's, we'll maybe see. It's one of those things. You know, season one is good. Season two is, you know, kind of like leading up into something, and then season three might knock it out of the park.
We'll see.
Chelsea, unfortunately, hopefully not in another 2 years. Yeah. Maybe a year and a half. Do better, Paramount.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll keep this train moving along here. Next up, I don't know if either of you saw this. This will just be a mini review since the movie's a year old now. It's been kind of on my wish list queue to see for a bit. I saw it dropped on Hulu, so I watched it there. I'm talking about the Owen Wilson, not a satire, but that's what it seemed like, of Paint, where Owen Wilson plays
Bob Ross.
Yeah,
yes.
Bob Ross, a Bob Ross wannabe. He's at first when I saw the previews for this, I thought Owen Wilson there. He's doing his best. People can see watching the video version of the show. He's doing his best Bob Ross imitation there. He's donning the Bob Ross fro. He's painting and he's. Well, that Owen Wilson nose is one of a kind. No one can pull it off like him. And he's painting landscapes for a station on PBS. I think the PBS on here stands for something else, though. But, yeah, so it's this is, Owen Wilson plays Carl Nargle, Vermont's number one public television painter, and is convinced he has it all. A signature perm, custom van, and fans hanging on his every stroke until a younger, better artist steals everything and everyone Carl loves. So, have either of you seen this? This hit last year.
No, so this was a weird thing. This was supposed to hit theaters, right? It didn't. And I was so upset about it.
Video or streaming then, or direct-to-video?
Yeah, and it wasn't direct-to-video, but it was more for streaming, which was lame. And it was supposed to hit theaters, because I was really excited to see this.
You know what this seems to me is, after watching, I was like, this seems like something else, because the other movie I was thinking of, it just seems like this is the Bob Ross version of Death to Smoochie.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll definitely watch it then.
Because, you know, Death to Smoochie, that classic Robin Williams, Edward Norton, you know.
Rainbow Randolph.
For people that don't remember Death to Smoochie, awesome, awesome comedy where it's like you have dueling mascots, you have like, you know, or for kids television shows, think of Barney, and then a newer, better version of Barney comes along as those two kind of fighting for popularity, going to win the kids mascot TV wars.
Robin Williams and Edward.
So that's what you have here with Paint. You have Owen Wilson playing this Bob Ross. They make no references to Bob Ross at all in here. He just happens to have a coincidental look. So there's no relation. He paints landscapes. There's Bob Ross is not in the film at all or not referenced in the film at all.
He doesn't even have to be. It's just Owen Wilson.
And this is not his life story too, but like, so he gets this competitive painter. PBS wants him to do a second, like an hour long version of the show to improve ratings. And Bob Ross is like, no, that'll be disrespecting the art. So they bring this new painter called, Ambrosia, played by Sierra Renee, and she paints. She's a very unique character. She paints kind of like a little War of the Worlds type blood type landscape thing, and everyone's like at first like, oh, you're a little eccentric, but she starts taking off and she starts winning over all the Carl Nargle fans, and the way you see Carl Nargle starting to lose his grip of his popularity, people not really treating him the right way, people starting to give him the cold shoulder, and then this Ambrosia starts just taking away of all these other things that Bob, or not, I don't want to say Bob Ross, that Carl Nargle is not a fan of, and things just start not going his way. He starts going down this more and more progressive downward spiral. And yeah, and so it's very interesting how you see this Carl Nargles, his home life, how he's pretty much living out of his van, even though he has a pretty kick-ass log house in this film.
I mean, but his van is kick-ass too. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I love the van.
Yes. So yeah, this was, I was like, is this going to be like a dumb, corny satire? No, this is actually a pretty unique, I don't want to say dark comedy, but it kind of walks that line between a dry comedy and just like, you know, for laughs comedy. I think it walks that line pretty interesting. I don't want to give it like super high thumbs up, but seeing the way it plays out, it's kind of predictable, but it has a pretty nice final act where it kind of goes in a direction I didn't see where it was going to go. So it's very formulaic, I want to say, for like the first 80% of it, but the last 20%, I'm like, okay, I did not see things going this way at all. Nice way to wrap it up. And, you know, does Carl Nargle manage to make another go of it? It kind of all comes down to like this fundraiser where they're doing like, you know, a vintage PBS telethon to raise profits for PBS to keep their shows on the air. And the way that this Ambrosia and this Carl Nargle compete against each other, where I was like, okay, this is great, I'm on board. And from there, the last 20% of the movie, I think the movie really steps up. I think, yeah, the last 20% of it is really, really, really good stuff. Again, first, like, 80% good stuff, but pretty predictable. You can see where it's going. Last 20%, great stuff. Is it right up there with Death to Smoochie? No. But is it worth watching? You know, have a pizza, some popcorn, have a fun beverage or two? Definitely, definitely. I think this is above Folding Laundry in the background quality, but, you know, underneath, like, five-star rush out to the theater's quality, if that makes sense, on the big screens and TV screen scale.
I'm looking forward to watching this. I thought it looked interesting.
Yeah, because I've been wanting to see this forever. I just haven't had the time to, and I love Owen Wilson.
I don't want to be hyping up too much. You see the Rotten Tomatoes aggregate, critics 32%, audience 57%, so maybe just hit the right funny bone for me, but no.
What did they know?
But I remember seeing the box for this. I'm like, I don't remember seeing a single trailer for this film. Put it on my wish list. I'm like, I'll see it eventually. I saw it dropped on Hulu this past week. I'm like, all right, I got to watch this day one. Glad I did. I'm getting a definite recommendation to Paint. All right, we're going to be talking about another movie from the past, maybe not last year past, but Paul, you kind of texted me this about this would be a fun one to revisit. I was hoping to at least start this the other day, at least watch the first half hour, so I did not have enough time. Yesterday was crazy busy for me, but you decided to revisit and wanted to talk about the 2006 version of the Superman film, Superman Returns. The first
with Brandon Routh.
Yeah, the Brandon Routh joint directed by Bryan Singer, you know, very, very acclaimed comic book director, did a lot of big hits, X-Men, X-Men 2, Days of Future Past, Usual Suspects, big acclaimed director, and some other things too. But we won't talk about that today. But Superman Returns, the 2006 live-action Superman movie. Paul, what made you want to revisit this one?
So, I mean, you know, we've been dealing with, you know, the Justice League and all those movies recently. And yes, I think that this movie just got really, really underrated for how good it actually is.
Yeah.
Because revisiting this, you know, now that it's on, you know, streaming on Max, you know, I mean, it has a lot of really, like, good scenes in there, and it does a really good job of bringing back the Christopher Reeves type of Superman.
Well, this actually takes place, it's canon, after the first two original films from the late 70s, right?
Yes.
I think they have a little, like, brief text intro saying this is taking place, they pretend Superman 3 and 4 never existed, probably for the better, the old live-action movies, but Superman 1 and 2 are very, very well-regarded to this day, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I mean, there are some scenes in here that are just, they're just fantastic. I mean, like, when the bullet hits his eyeball, bullet hits his eyeball.
Oh, that's, you know, so cool.
And they don't have them all in a, you know, a muscle suit or anything like that, and his portrayal of Superman, I think, is just, like, I just think it's so much better because he's just so humble.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he has this you know, this Superman characteristic. To me, it was just, this is traditional Superman.
Yeah.
Where the Henry Cavill one, or what is it? No.
Henry Cavill,
Like, he doesn't come across to me as, like, you know, the Christopher Reeves Superman or this kind of Superman.
Yeah. You always hear the analogy over the years, where's the, you know, the Boy Scout Superman?
Yeah.
Would you say that's what you got with the Brandon Routh one?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, and there's, you know, there's just a lot of scenes in this that are just really great. And as much as you can hate Kevin Spacey for being such a, you know, he does a great
Such a great Lex Luthor.
For the sake of this review, let's separate the person from the art here. Yeah. So at least talking about, I remember coming out of the movie, I was like, some of the high points for me were definitely Kevin Spacey is probably bar none the best Lex Luthor everyone who portrayed him. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love Gene. Gene Hackman was so incredible. But, I mean, if we had to do levels, I mean, Kevin Spacey
stepped it up.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Mm.
But, you know,
he was the villain.
You know, the Henry Cavill one, it's like, okay, he's strong. But this one, you know, I mean, he flies up into space and, you know, he just, like, goes into like a meditation state and hears everything that is going on in the entire world to find out like where his, you know, where he needs to be. And, you know, when he's bringing down this jet, you know, you can see just the ripple waves go through it when he's stopping it. And I mean, there are just so many good things about this movie.
Oh yeah.
Granted, I wasn't a huge fan of like the, how this like all played out for the end where Lex Luthor was just going to like make this Kryptonian you know, landscape.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of silly.
Yeah.
That felt a little off for me at the end. I was like, how can Superman lift an entire planet made out of
kryptonite?
As like, that's going for a stretch, but so much more of the movie. I remember loving back then. I wish I had time to watch more of it.
If they would have done what they had done in the comics, where like so Kingdom Come Superman actually did overcome his weakness to kryptonite. I wish they would have done that, but this is a younger Superman. And mind you, ladies and gentlemen, like Paul said, this was the Superman I grew up reading in the comic books. He was a Boy Scout. He wasn't a jerk and a, like, don't get me wrong, I love Henry Cavill. He's so good. But the thing was is that they always want to do this to Superman. They always want to make him evil. They always want to make him a bad guy, like, oh, because they want to make him Homelander. No, he wouldn't smash a guy's truck after throwing a glass at him on a, you know, light pole. He wouldn't break Zod's neck to do that. And I'm going to talk about this because let's face it, you guys, Superman always finds a way out of trouble, even if the odds are against him. He will find a better way to make a solution better.
This is the way that I would say it. I mean, as when you go to the Boy Scout thing, I would just say that this Brandon Routh, you know, as Superman and Clark Kent, he's just way more likable.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even when, you know, he gets stabbed with the kryptonite and they just start beating the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Like you feel sympathy for the guy. Yeah. Like, and it's Superman and you're watching him getting the crap beat out of him because now he's just like a normal human and, you know, and they're beating him up. Well, I mean, they kind of did that with Christopher Reeves too, But the portrayal of that, when they did this in this movie, it was like, okay, like, get up, Superman.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and he's
very charismatic.
And when Henry Cavill had it done to him, it just didn't have the same impact because he just wasn't as likable.
Yeah, and they made him, I feel like they made him too, if he would have been like a Russian Superman, like, you know, that would have been understandable. But this one, like Paul said, you feel for him. Like, you know, come on, man, you're invincible. Don't let him beat you. Like, they feel something for him and Christopher Reeve.
Well, okay, I would say it more like this, if this makes any sense. The Brandon Routh Superman, he's kind of like more like the nerd that has these superpowers and is unstoppable. And so when he loses them, you feel bad for him when he starts getting the crap beat out of him. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, when he doesn't have them, he's Superman, but he's still this kind of like nerdy guy. Where Henry Cavill just kind of across as more of like a jock with superpowers.
Yeah.
And then when he lost them, he was just a jock getting beat up.
Yeah.
Does that kind of make sense?
I can see. Yeah.
I see where you're coming from.
I can see where you're going with that. Cause when they did the original one, because Christopher Reeve is such a skinny guy, he had built to his frame and he was, cause he's 6 foot, mind you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Brendan Ralph, he's a little bit taller than Christopher Reeves, but because they had no padding in the suit, whereas with Henry Cavill, because he's such a massive man, I mean, if you looked at him, I mean, they make him look like, such a big, he's still a big guy, because they look at him, he's huge, Henry Cavill's huge, but with this one, he's
he's a bit of a nerd. So, I mean, he's still Clark Kent at heart in this one. So I feel
And he didn't look like he was a roided out guy that goes to the gym every day.
Yeah.
He's just a big guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's limits, everyone. You can't look like a rich guy.
Some of the cool things about Brandon Roos' performance in this that we really haven't had a chance to talk on too much yet. I mean, I really wish I would have had time to see this yesterday, but from what I remember, besides, I really liked his dialogue exchanges as Superman with Lois Lane, where he was meeting him on top of the tower, and like the way that you can kind of see in the picture behind me, the way they detail his cape, the way his cape is animated, whether it is CG assisted or practical or some combination of both. Yeah. I remember multiple times originally watching this movie in the theater going, damn, they did a spectacular job on that cape.
Yeah.
And just like the way he has like this very natural word, all the words coming out of him when he's talking to Lois, like, all right, this is important. And when he plays just as good as he plays Superman, he plays just as a damn good Clark Kent as well.
Yes.
I think that is
that's a very good point to make. Yes, he does a great job as Clark Kent.
So good. I love my favorite scene, and I have a lot of favorite scenes in this movie, but I love him as Clark Kent when he's on the farm. He's playing catch with his dog, dude. Just throws that
amazing
thing.
Amazing
like,
Clark Kent.
Yeah, and the dog goes back after two. Even like, when he throws it again, the dog's like, I don't want to go back.
From what I remember, the interactions with Lois and his family and his colleagues at the Daily Planet, where you're just with them 1,000%.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, okay, he has this very everyman feel.
You know, it's something that I would say about this, you know, when you go back to, you know, the Christopher Reeve Superman, and I've always kind of like had this separation between DC and Marvel. Mm. And it seems like with, you know, the Henry Cavill, the League of what the heck?
Justice League?
Oh, yeah, Justice,
the Justice League.
Yeah.
It's like they're trying to become Marvel, where they should just stay.
That was definitely with the Joss Whedon directed one. That was definitely the case with that.
Like, they should stay in their lane. Yeah. Like, Superman should be like Christopher Reeves, like the Brandon Ruth.
Because
what they did with the Henry Cavill one is they tried to make him into Iron Man. You know, and it's like, you don't have to have them try to, like, compete in this realm.
Yeah.
They're completely separate. Like, if you look at a DC comic or you look at a Marvel comic, they're two separate lanes.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And it's like DC is like, oh, we're not doing as good as Marvel, so we're gonna try to merge.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And they're ruining it by doing that.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, why would you make Cyborg try to, you know, I mean, they're basically trying to make him be like Iron Man, you know?
Yeah. Mind you, ladies and gentlemen, DC and Marvel have been at war for years. And it's not, and this isn't news. They've been doing this forever. I mean, Marvel, they knew what they wanted to be. When they came out the gate, they already said, all right, we're going to be a movie studio. We're off to the races we go. With DC, they had their movies, but when The Dark Knight and Christopher Reeve Superman, that killed it. It was good. They didn't need to do anything else. But they just had to, just like Paul said, they just had to keep poking the bear and doing all this stuff. And then they had to make, you know, Superman look like, oh, I'm invincible like Iron Man. Or I had to make Cyborg look like, you know, the tech guy of everything. You don't need to do that, guys.
Obviously, we're all very passionate about this.
Oh,
Paul,
yeah.
I think this is such a great topic to revisit. Final talking points about Superman Returns here. Why would you like to close this off?
I would say that this one, I think it was what, Bryan Singer,
who's Bryan Singer, director.
Yep.
He did a really good job of just making really impactful scenes, as opposed to just trying to make these like just over the top special effects type of things. I mean, like I said, you know, when the guy's got the huge Gatlin gun and Superman is just walking into it, and then it just cuts to the slow motion of it just hitting his eyeball, and
that's so cool,
you know, makes it feel it.
Yeah.
No bullet goes unwasted.
And, you know, like you said, when he's flying and, you know, he hits, you know,
he's
breaks.
He's freaking flying.
Yeah.
You know, so just simplicity can be a lot better than just trying to go completely over the top with special effects.
It's cliche, but less is more.
Yeah,
yes, exactly.
He
nailed it home on this one with the less is more. With Superman.
As we've said, like I've said this countless times, and thank you for saying it, both of you. I've said this countless times, guys. You don't need to put millions of dollars into a movie. Bryan Singer, that's why his X-Men movies were so freaking amazing in the early 2000s. He brought heart to these people. Less is more. Say it with us now. Less is more.
And as evidenced by one of our top picks from the movies of last year, Godzilla Minus One. Great special effects, but like with a fraction of the special effects budget of your average like DC or Marvel cinematic blockbuster, and the Academy recognized it and won the Oscar for Best Visual Effects.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been because Paul said he's like, well, it could have been because they're Asian. But regardless, they still won, and it was cool.
Now, don't get me wrong. I do disagree with Victor on this. I think that he totally hacked X-Men.
Oh, come on. He made the
worst X-Men movies that...
The second one? Come on. You at least have to give it to the second one. It made it more grittier and darker, and the racism was truly there there.
He should have stuck to DC.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I will disagree with you on that.
He started with Marvel movies. He only did one DC movie, but, like, Yeah, that's a whole another. That could be a future topic for another show, for another one to revisit, the original X-Men movies. That could be a future one.
I don't even know if I want to go back there.
Oh, gosh. But
I thought it was funny because, like, he reminds me of Hugh Jackman when he's like, you actually go outside.
Victor, hold that thought for 1 second. We'll have more from you in just a second. We got to move this along. We still got so much show to go over here. But I guess speaking of comic stuff, Victor, it's time for us to hear from you for your latest Marvel, DC, Image comic updates.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, you guys. Speaking of which, I know you guys will appreciate this a lot, especially Dale. The Punisher again has always come out with no apologies, and he truly has come out with no apologies on this one. So a new character has taken over the Punisher role, and he himself is taking off where Frank Castle had left off. Yes, and he is going after one of Mr. Negative's gang. Mr. Negative, you don't know who that is. That is a Spider-Man villain. He is a part of the Triads. And the Triads, of course, is a very dangerous Chinese gang that has been pretty much in every route, and God knows what they have done. But
if I could bounce off that for just a quick sec, I am behind a little bit on my Punisher comics. I got a few from my pull list at the comic shop I go to. They're sitting on my table. I need to read them still.
Yeah, but still, like I said, if you have a chance, please do. The Marvel Max series, which, oh my gosh.
Was this the Return to Punisher Max?
No, it's not the same as Punisher Max. I believe me.
Garth Ennis, of the best stuff ever.
Oh, believe me, you and me both. I love that series. There was no PG. It was action R. It was R. It was X. It was in your face, Punisher style. I wish they would have done that, but again, we can only dream. We can only dream, Dale. And of course, I have to say, Daredevil. I can't wait for my boy to take.
Do they have a release date for it for the new season?
They haven't talked. I know about
It's been in reshoot, recut hell.
I know.
But hopefully for the better.
They're still dealing with the problems. Yes, and it's just been crazy, but what's not been so crazy, of course, has been because it has been a little crazy, honestly, this whole year. Of course, the Caped Crusader has been in development hell as well. J.J. Abrams and, of course, Bruce Timm of the animated Batman, the animated series, as well as many others have been trying their hardest. Even Matt Reeves, who has joined the crew, of course, has been part of the crew, has been trying to get this new animated series off the ground. They said it was supposed to be on Amazon, and they couldn't do anything with it because Warner Brothers has such a tight grip on the Batman franchise that we can't do anything. So Amazon hopefully will pick it up. And it's been in development hell for years, and now they've finally kind of going. So hopefully they can get their crap together and all in line so this show can go on, because this is not your dad's Batman. This is going to be gritty, and it's going to go back to the roots of my Dark Knight, which is going to be awesome, and I cannot wait.
Here.
I cannot wait. Batman is scary, man. Make him back when I saw him when I was a kid. And honestly, we're also celebrating, speaking of the Dark Knight, we're celebrating one of my favorite Batman stories, the man, the myth, the legend, who never dies at all. The comic that changed the game of comic books and graphic novels forever. I'm talking about the 1986
You know what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. The Dark Knight Returns. Now, for those of you, quick context of what you don't know what that is. That was when a 60-year-old Batman saw his world come into disarray, and he finally comes back out of retirement to show the world that heroes don't get old.
What you say? He's like 60 or so, right?
Yes, he's 60 years old, and he's come back to take on a new, you know, enemies.
What changed the game back then? Yeah.
Oh, man. It was the 80s was a time to make comic books, man. And Frank Miller, my gosh.
Victor, I saw the DC animated, straight-to-video animated movie, which I understand was very, very faithful to the comics. So I later on went on to pick up the graphic novel in hardcover that came with the Blu-ray of the animated movie. It's been on my, I got to read this, but then I was like, you know, I heard this was very, very, like, one-to-one, which is probably for the best, but I'm going to let several years pass before I read this so it could be a little bit more fresh for me, I guess.
Oh trust me. You, like, and I know Paul will love it as well. Like, if you ever get a chance to, when I was a kid, man, I remember my dad bought me the complete Frank Miller's Batman that had three great stories. It first was Frank Miller's Batman Year One, second was Santa Claus Dead or Alive, and of course, the third of what we're talking about now, The Dark Knight Returns. And my gosh, man, this was the Batman I grew up with. He's grim, he's gritty, he's scary, and he's in your face, and he's just not apologetic. Gosh. And this is a future where Batman needed to come back. Like I said, heroes don't get old, they just get darker.
Oh, I love it. Great stuff, Victor. Any other comic updates?
I'm very excited for Fantastic Four, and I can't wait because I got some Fantastic Four news for you guys. They're coming out with a new series. Besides all the controversy behind the casting, I'm very excited to see my favorite family of four come back with new stuff every day, and I just can't wait because, I mean, it's Fantastic Four. And Ninja Turtles, man, they have just not stopped. They have kept going. My Heroes in a Half Shell have always kept going for years and years, and they've come back with new challenges, which is the Armageddon Games. That was when the Rat King is blown down the gauntlet.
I was looking into this as I was in your topics talk about today. It's like Armageddon. At first I thought it was a video game.
No,
so I looked at it's a graphic novel or a series of comics.
Yes. So this is when, in quick synopsis here, this is when the Rat King has thrown down the gauntlet on the Turtles. So it's up to the Shredder, Karai, and pretty much all the Turtles, Splinter and Casey Jones and April O'Neil, to see what Mr. Rat King is up to. And I can't believe this. They're actually all working together. It is very, and I know that's pretty shocking, you right, guys? You know, heroes working with enemies, you know, to combat the common good. I mean, you've seen it before, but it is a little strange, you know, because the Shredder has been trying to kill these guys for years, and now he joins up with them. Not to mention, Leatherhead has Krang in his stomach. I mean, there's so much going on.
They're hitting
this.
All the hits.
Oh, they're getting everything, guys. And like I said, the Turtles have faced a lot of scrutiny over the years with all their, you know.
So is that graphic novel collecting the series out now then?
Yes, you can collect it now. It's not a graphic novel. I mean, it is a graphic novel, you know.
A collection of all the comics published graphic novel. Is that out now?
Well, because Mirage has, you know, come and gone, sadly. Now IDW has them, and so if you want to, you can pick it up at your local comic book store. There is a graphic novel version of it, just like The Last Ronin is too. If you want to pick up the paperback versions, you certainly can as well. You'd probably have to order them because they're not easy to get all in one issue.
Paperback or hardcover, yeah, I dig it, man.
Yeah, so if you have time, please go to your local comic book stores and pick them up.
Victor, jam-packed comic update this show.
Yes, like awesome. I said, everything was coming all at once. Well, you know, no holds back. So here we go.
Victor, awesome stuff, man. Love it. We'll have more from you in a bit here down the show. You got your action figure showcase coming up, but we got new releases before that. Yes. But before we get to that, we got to hear from our last sponsor of the show. Let's hear these words from Redemption Shield.
Have you noticed the ever-alarming 400,000 cell towers that have gone up in the United States alone? How about the electronics that reside in every room of our homes and Wi-Fi that runs 24/7? 5G cell phones are carried in our pockets hours on end. Common complaints are ringing in the ear, sleep deprivation, palpitations, headaches, memory loss, and so much more. Redemption Shield is on the cutting edge of offering products that protect your family from electromagnetic and microwave radiation. Start protecting yourself now. Go to redemptionshield.com and get grounded and shielded today. Use code GFBS and save 10%. Redemption.
All right, we are back. It's time to hit up our noteworthy theatrical and streaming new releases. And gosh, one big theatrical release I got, and then several streaming releases here. So I'll kick things off with the streaming. Apples Never Fall, streaming via Peacock, stars Annette Bening as a family matriarch who goes missing, leaving her husband and four children to reckon with some dark family secrets. Mm. Next up, I heard a couple people actually talking to me about this past week here. Quiet on the Set, the dark side of kids' TV.
Oh, yeah.
Producer Katie from GFBS was actually saying she saw some clips of this, and this is completely up her alley. A streaming docuseries on HBO and streaming on Max. It exposes the harassing and abusive behavior of Dan Schneider, the man behind many of Nickelodeon's most successful shows, and other predators who were allowed to work on sets alongside child actors. Victor, you've been up to date with this? Or?
Oh, man, you're talking to a kid who grew up with that stuff. So
I'm sure we all grew up with Nickelodeon.
Oh, yeah, but this was going to touch on a lot of dark subject matter, and Katie, luckily, she talked about this because I was going to talk about it too. But we both were up this alley, and like I said, man, I'm very shocked and very sad to see this, but I don't want to see
it. Is it airing weekly, or is it all out there, all available?
There is episodes out there already, so you got to view it now.
All right. Well, I can try and give myself an assignment to try and get up to speed for it on our next episode here. We'll do a breakdown of it.
I'm kind of scared to watch it.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, that's on HBO and streaming on Max. And next up, we have Anatomy of a Fall, streaming on Hulu. It won the best Oscar for adapted screenplay about a widow whose husband falls to his death, and now she must fight to clear her name. I don't usually mention movies from the theater coming on streaming, but it had a very limited run in America in theaters, so this is kind of its first major release anywhere being streaming it on Hulu.
Well, it's international,
International,
so you're not going to get it very much around the U.S., ladies and gentlemen. So.
And then finally, Roadhouse streaming on Amazon Prime Video, which we reviewed at the top of the show. Notable new theatrical movie, Godzilla X Kong, Cross Kong, however you want to say it, theaters. Yeah. I guess you got the opening night tonight in the evening showings, and then full slate all day long showings starting tomorrow. And the synopsis from IMDb goes, two ancient titans, Godzilla and Kong, clash in an epic battle as humans unravel their intertwine origins and connection to Skull Island's mysteries. I think we talked about it briefly on the show when we were talking about Godzilla Minus One several episodes back, but this is more of a follow-up to the last Godzilla and Kong crossover, which I think we're fans of, right? It's like some dorky storytelling, but we're in it for the big action showpiece scenes, and there is where it delivered, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's got great cinematography.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, like, come on, monsters, guys. Let's go.
Let's see these monsters wreck stuff.
Titans. Yes. Can't go wrong with Titans.
Oh, hell yeah.
Give me some popcorn and some nice frosty beverages, and let's have fun, right?
Oh, heck yeah. And plus, I'm ready for them to, like, at least, I wanted them to go against each other again, but I also love when they team up because it's going to be an all-out brawl. Oh, it's going to be so cool.
I'm not going to lie. I think this movie is going to be ridiculously stupid.
Going by the previous movies, the previous one in this line of movies, the Skull Island, going by that pedigree, that's kind of what I want from it, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm ready, but
we got our good serious Godzilla movie with Minus One.
No, it's just going to be a roller coaster ride.
Give it to me.
I'm ready for it, though. Let's go. If we're going to go on this ride, let's not hold back, man.
Yeah. Safe to say, we'll probably be reviewing it on the next big screens and TV streams here in 2 weeks.
Oh, hell yeah.
Heck yeah. All right, you guys got a pick of the week. Safe to say, Godzilla Cross Kong, pick of the week from those?
I'm ready. Let's go. I'm ready.
I'll give a supporting nod to Quiet on Set. I'll try and watch a couple episodes of that to talk about for next episode. I guess
speaking. Still scared to watch that.
yes. Could be very eye opening. Let's wrap it up with our last segments here. Some GFBS plugs for some more of our other GFBS shows. Check out River City Speedway Presents Dirty Thursday. Awesome show from earlier today with Midwest Mod and late model driver Victoria Stutsky. John went over an hour talking about her racing career and what's in store for her this season. Tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on Icky Ichabod's Weird Cinema, Icky the Wizard and Paul will be going in depth about the 1987 classic The Lost Boys.
Oh, hell yeah. I listened to that at work today. The soundtrack was kick-ass.
Victor had a lot of good things about the soundtrack. I got a feeling.
The Frog Brothers? Are you kidding me? I love me some Lost Boys.
Paul and Icky are going to be just nerding out like on this one like no other. Right, Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So tune into that. And then finally tonight at 6:30, New Fork Sports Highway at 6:30, Monty, Bill, Raven, Supersonic Steve. They have the latest on March Madness bracketology, both hockey and hoops, and so much more from the sports world. And also live tonight at 9 o'clock, the Brew Brothers for all the latest from the craft beer scene. And you can find all these shows. If you can't tune in live, watch them anytime, anywhere by searching GFBS on your favorite podcast or social media apps.
Can you get the camera off me?
No.
Okay.
Got a little trigger happy. A little trigger happy with the buttons.
Get the cameras off.
Okay. Quick takes. Paul, I'm going to throw the camera right back at you, though. Let's see your quick takes. What you've been watching lately, otherwise, that we haven't had a chance to talk about. Other stuff going on? Easter plans?
Oh, well, yeah, I got to go to Devil's Lake for Easter. That'll be fun.
You don't sound that enthused.
Pick up my camper while I'm there.
Ready for the camping season.
Looking forward to watching, the new Godzilla Kong movie.
Hell yeah.
Maybe I'll check it out at the new theater at Devil's Lake.
Devil's Lake's got a new theater?
Oh, that's right. They do. I forgot.
Yeah,
that.
But they don't have beer, so I have to sneak it all in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they were like, dude, I understand. Just go in. Just go in.
How big of a multiplex is there? Is it just like a big one-screen auditorium?
I think they got two.
Two? Okay. Heck yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But it's funny, though, because you actually get like your seat number.
Oh, yeah. Fargo does that for their screens. Yeah. I hear some more popular things.
They actually do that? Oh, yeah.
Fargo, all the Fargo theaters do that.
One of them
aside from like the Fargo theater. I think
it was funny because we went to the Aquaman movie when it just came out. Mm. And this is like the movie theater had just opened.
Yeah.
And I was like, they're like, pick out your seat. And I was like, oh. That's new. Okay, well, I guess I'll take the two in the center. And then when I got into the theater, I was like, Is this seat taken? No, none of them are, because nobody's in the freaking theater.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
I'm the only one here.
Oh, man. Oh. Like,
that was really necessary.
So, yeah. I can see, for big opening nights,
I almost wanted to be a rebel and just sit to the one next to my actual seat number just to...
Just to piss them off,
just see if management would come in and just be like, "Sir, I don't think that's your seat."
Oh gosh, you're too over to the left. Get it right. Our sensors dictated that you have to.
Yeah, you don't like this theory. I'm over here now.
Oh gosh, yeah, that was kind of. I hear that's more and more popular thing. I definitely felt the same way when I saw a couple movies at the West Acres Cinema over the past year. It's like, okay, pick my seat, sure, even though the movie's only like 20% full, but okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is weird. Why do they do that?
Actually, I do like it. Mm. I think it's a good idea just because of the fact that...
Crowd control.
If you're going into an opening movie, and you got, if it's like me, my wife, and my daughter... And you can't find three, like next to each other. Yeah. It's like, I'm not going to sit up there while the two of them are over there. Yeah. We're not going to be all scattered around. Like, obviously, we're coming here. We want to sit together.
Exactly.
So,
I think the pluses definitely outweigh the minuses.
Yeah.
I'll give it to them on that one. Yeah. You don't want to just scramble around. So, I understand that.
They remodeled the thing. And, it's good that they have a theater again, because Devil's Lake. Like, it closed down. I mean, that's the only theater that they had, so they didn't even have a movie theater. I mean, who would want to...
How many years were they without a theater, about?
Probably maybe 10.
City can't have a movie theater. That was great to see his back. Heck yeah.
I mean, the screen wasn't that big, but, it was just normal, kind of seating and everything, but it was traditional.
Hey, there's something about going to small town movie theaters. There's just something special about it. It's like a little more, I like this a little more down to earth theater. As nice as it is to have, the reclining seats and, leather seating and all that fun stuff.
I'll take that over that. Any day of the week.
I love it just as much as you, but there's
Forget
something.
That.
There's something.
If I would have been at the River Cinema, I would have been like, "This is better."
Plus, I have beer.
That is definitely more preferable. But I'm just saying, hey, if I'm out traveling and if I'm like, I'm going to go to this small town movie theater, that's how I saw the very first Captain America movie. I was driving home with my dad and coming back to town from a family visit, and we're like, "Oh, what's going on?" We're driving through Crookston, and we're like, "Oh, hey." We could catch Captain America. Let's see it. We pretty much had the whole theater to ourselves. It was like at an odd matinee time during the week. And it just something to it. Right place, right time. I was all for it.
Is there any update on the one that's supposed to be coming up on 32nd? Because honestly, it just, I mean,
from last,
I do like the River Cinema is great, but I've been wanting an IMAX in this town for 30 freaking years.
You and me both.
You know, I want...
They got a
the one that you see in Minneapolis that you can go to.
Was it the Odyssey? I believe is the chain that's taking over, right?
Because I saw Interstellar when we went to Minneapolis, ladies and gentlemen. And we saw Interstellar.
I want to be able to get a suite.
Oh my god!
I want to be able to pay the money for a suite.
From last I heard, they were very so cool. They were very vague, but they kind of are hinting it's going to be like a lot of their other like kind of luxury family center. It's going to be like a family center and a movie theater, all that combined, and you can eat while you're there. I think it sounds like they got a lot of major renovations in store, so it's probably going to. I think it's from what I gather, just kind of playing by context, I'm thinking it's probably like going to be another 2 years out.
You might as well just turn it into an IMAX. Yeah. I mean, people like it's no joke, guys. I mean, IMAX, they spare no expense. Those guys do it for real. And my God, man, the color, the picture. I mean, I can go on because, I mean, these guys. Oh my gosh.
I have yet to be to an IMAX movie. I got to cross that off my movie bucket list. Paul, I see you got a couple other quick takes here on your list here.
Oh, I do?
Just going by.
Oh, yeah. The Squealer. Hard pass on that one. Yeah. Wow.
Squealer.
It was like a horror flick.
Oh, I've heard of the Squealer. I just thought it was a funny name.
That was on
Peacock. I mean, the name is actually pretty catchy.
The Squealer.
But, yeah, I mean, he's a butcher and he's a, you know, a serial killer. The movie is just...
How many serial killers?
It's awful. Just check that one off on your list. Don't even bother. And then, I rewatched Army of Dark. My daughter, who's 11, she's like, I like horror movies. I want to watch a horror movie. And I was like, all right. So I put on Army of Darkness for her.
Oh, God. Hey, that's a little comedy to it. It's a little lighthearted.
Yeah, it's not a horror movie. It's a comedy.
Yeah, this is a comedy. Anything with Bruce, come on.
Burning question, how did it go over?
Oh, yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I mean, she enjoyed it.
Nice.
Revisiting something that constantly makes me laugh. I mean... You can't go wrong with Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell. Come on, bring in Groovy.
Yeah,
come on,
Groovy.
Shop smart.
Yeah,
yes.
This is my boomstick.
Oh, I'm good ass. You're bad ass. You're skinny little tissues.
Any other quick takes, Paul?
No, that should do it.
All right, I'll go next here, and we'll wrap it up with Victor. I finally finished Welcome to Wrexham, at least the latest season that dropped not too long ago, season 2. It's actually kind of got me a little bit into soccer. I've been keeping up with highlights from all the games from Minnesota United FC. So, damn it, Ryan Reynolds and Mr. McElhenney, is that how you say his name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys got me a little bit into soccer.
I did have one more. I forgot to mention because I think I got one more episode left, but Fitness 100.
Enlighten us.
it's season 2, but it's basically like Squid Game, except it's these Korean people. I think it's in Korea. I'm almost positive it's Korea, but they try to find like the perfect like athlete. And then they have like sculptures of their torsos, and then if they lose, they have to smash their sculpture of their torso. But they put them through these challenges, kind of just like Squid Game, except I mean they're not going to die.
Oh, is that on Netflix or?
Yep, yeah. And so you know, like they'll start out with 100 people, and then they'll put them on a treadmill, and you know, and they'll make them run for as long as they can, and then you know they'll just keep eliminating people by the amount of time, you know, the ones that give up. And then the next one will be like maybe like a strength competition, and then the next one they have like they'll put them in a UFC ring, but I mean it's not actually like UFC battle, like you can't even draw blood or anything, but it'll be like you have to hold on to the ball that's in the middle of the ring, and you got 3 minutes, and so whoever has like the ball at the end.
Would you say they out Squid Game? Squid Game?
Well, no, it's like they do it like almost exactly like Squid Game. They got like the anonymous announcer, and it's you know Jeff versus whoever, and they get to actually like pick who they want to go against.
That's pretty cool.
And then, you know, and then so now all of a sudden they'll get in the ring and, you know, so somebody will be like, okay, I picked this guy because he's, you know, big and slow, where I think I can run and I can grab the ball.
Right.
And okay. keep it from him.
Okay. Oh.
Well, and then, you know, and like, so then all of a sudden the gates will open and the one guy will sprint out, but then the other guy will just be like walking out and he'll be like, as soon as I get a hold of you, I'm just going to dominate you.
Fair. Yeah,
you know, so it's dumb, but it's also stupidly entertaining.
It's got its hooks in you.
Well, no, because Paul talked about this, like, in, I don't know if you all remember, but I remember, because I know Paul talking about the show many shows ago, and he was talking about a girl who was trying to take on this guy, and it didn't go over well for her, and they were doing a strength competition, and unfortunately, she wasn't up to the stuff. But otherwise, I mean, I thought it was, like, very interesting, because he talked about it, like, many shows ago, and I thought it was really interesting, and I was like, this sounds like, I was like, yeah, he talked about this. I was like, I remember that, obviously. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and this is season two. I mean, so one that would be like right up your alley, they would have, I think this was the, well, this was the first season, but they'd be running in a track.
Okay.
And it was basically, if you could catch the person in front of you, then they were out. So they would just be running and running, you know, until... You know, they, so the one guy would finally lag down and the guy would tap him out. Well, then there's the other guy in front of him. And so you're still trying to catch up to that guy. And if he starts to fall back and you tag him, then he's out until, you know, you eliminate everybody. And it's a, you know, a challenge to the very end where the
fastest runner reigns supreme.
Yeah, but I mean, they go through all types of different things as far as strength, agility, you know. So they're trying to find the perfect physique.
Mm. Okay, I got you. So he says it's called Fitness 100, or
yeah, I think or Physique 100, or something like that.
And streaming on Netflix. Yep. Right on. Heck yeah! All right, a couple other last things from me. I still keeping up with the latest on the docuseries on Dark Side of the Ring. That's since they're now streaming on Hulu now, and they're streaming season 5. I've been catching up on season 4. They had some great episodes documenting the Grahams, awesome, and how they ran this great rise and fall of a territory from Florida. And then another one on Magnum TA, great superstar wrestler of the 80s. It was like a kind of like an intentional clone of Magnum PI, but he had a horrible car wreck that just kind of curtailed his career, and that was a very well told episode of Dark Side of the Ring. And then I rewatched Air, you know, one of my top movies of the year from last year, the Ben Affleck, Matt Damon joint about how Michael Jordan got a shoe deal. Watched it with my parents. We did a movie night with my parents, and I'm like, you know, Mom, I think you'll like Air. It's about a Michael Jordan shoe deal. I know you do not like sports, but I think you'll like this movie, and, you know, a very dialogue-heavy driven movie, and they absolutely nailed it, and they loved it. They were fans of it, so yeah, Air, still a banger. So yeah, that about wraps it up for me. Victor.
Well, I, like I said, man, I've been so busy with action figure customs, which is awesome. There's Ninja Turtle stuff all around, man, because it's going to be so crazy for Ninja Turtles next year. Man, there's going to be movies and video games and everything, which is going to be cool. I've recently gone back and watched a Mount Rushmore of Marvel movies that were before the MCU and all this other stuff. There was a Mount Rushmore of movies that really were kicking ass back then. Blade was one of them. And so don't think Spider-Man was the first, because he wasn't. I mean, there was Captain America, there was Hulk, there was Thor back in the 70s and 60s, of course, but those movies were, you know, all the way back there. But Blade, man, I just couldn't get enough of that. I mean, the scene where all of them were at the party and rave, and their blood was all over the place. And Wesley Snipes, of course, with his badassy as he is, just comes in there, scares the crap out of all of them, and just kills them all with no hesitation. Also, I got pretty heavy into Star Wars Fallen Order. It's such
a good... Oh, that's the new game, right?
Yes, such a good game, man. I mean, you really are a Jedi in there. And, I mean, there's so much to it.
Is that the first... Didn't they do a sequel this last year? Is this the sequel you're playing?
This is the sequel I'm playing, and it's really good. This follows right after the Clone Wars, and it's so cool, man. Like, there's the Night Sisters, there's just this... And the boy that you'll see... I forget...
I'll think of his name in a second, but he plays on Shameless. He's such so good in this game. He's really, really good.
And they definitely nailed that AAA single-player Star Wars game vibe.
Oh, man, they did incredible with this game. The landscapes, the graphics, everything.
Does it actually play fun?
Oh, it's so much fun. Like, you get to, it's hard as hell.
A lot of force powers, lightsaber dueling.
You have to earn every force that you
get. Well, that's video games. You got to earn it.
Oh, of course. But, I mean, you get the, like, literally, once you get the double lightsaber, it's over. Like, you're complete. Anyone who says they don't want a double lightsaber literally in their collection as a Star Wars fan, because I've been a Star Wars fan for years, you are lying to yourself. Don't do that. You want it. It's awesome. Darth Maul made it possible. I love Darth
Maul. True. Facts. Victor, did you see they've been re-releasing a couple classic Star Wars games in like the past month?
Yes, I have.
Dark Forces. Yes. Just very well-revered first-person shooter Star Wars game from like the mid-90s.
Yes.
I heard great things about that re-release.
It was really cool to see that. I can't wait to play Battlefront, and they did really release Battlefront 2.
The original Battlefront games, not the two from EA from like the last decade, but the original two from like the mid-2000s.
Yeah, the original ones were pretty cool. Like, I used to play them with my brother a long time ago.
I remember I had to cover them from my gaming press days way, way back in the day. Those were just fun. One soldier in a flood of other stormtroopers or droids in online battles.
The AT's ones, those are so hard to destroy, man. And if you don't know what we're talking about, obviously, like those walkers that you'll see like literally in every battle scene of Star Wars, literally, those things are so hard to defeat. The only way you can get them is if you tie a string around them and push them over. But otherwise, man, it's so
Victor,
cool.
Last thing, I feel awful. I think we got carried away, and I completely skipped it after our theatrical and preview segment from movies. Your action figure showcase.
Oh, well, that's no problem, guys. Like I said, he's flying in no time. Of course, this was this was a figure that I wanted for years, and I finally found it. This, ladies and gentlemen, is, of course, the Kingdom Come Batman. And I have been looking for this for years. I was literally just randomly looking at my comic book store, and I was like, are you freaking serious? He's in there? And you're probably thinking, well, Victor, like, what was so great about this Batman? Are you kidding me? Look at the wings on this guy. Not to mention, I mean, he's scary. Now, if you don't know what Kingdom Come is, Kingdom Come was an Elseworlds story, of course, when all the Justice League had quit and new heroes were taking over, but they became too violent, and so the Justice League kind of split up for a while. Superman was on his farm, Batman was, you know, his occasional to himself, and he was creating, you know, bat bots basically to take over, you know, in his stead, but he created this exosuit, and he was like, are you kidding me? I'm not gonna let anyone take over my role, not the robots themselves. But he was keeping Gotham safe, you know, from all that stuff, so he had to create robots. But he's like, I'm gonna go back into the fold, and he did with this exosuit. Cool.
Which toy manufacturer is this?
This is McFarlane.
I wouldn't associate that with a McFarlane style.
No, McFarlane. Yeah.
They usually have a little bit more of a signature style. I was going to guess like maybe a Mattel or something like that.
Mattel doesn't
I don't say that as pejorative. Mattel makes great things, but you know, McFarlane has a very different style.
Yeah, McFarlane, he really goes for the cool factor, man, and he does it very well. He's getting a lot better now. I think after his expensive phase, which I really don't understand why he did that, but I do. But it's been so cool. And Mattel makes great figures as well, but theirs is a little bit on the watered down side right now because they're trying to take over a video game company and trying to become a video game company. But
They used to be a long time ago.
they used to be, but I again...
Television, yo.
Action figures and, you know, games and stuff, that's where you belong, man, so...
Victor, I'm sorry to jump in, but we're kind of running a little bit over here. Anything else real quick before we wrap up?
No. Otherwise, I thank everyone for, you know, just having me show my figures, man. And, of course, you know, we got to throw down the Master Chief Gauntlet. Like I said, he belongs in his suit, and we all agree. So let's just get it over with already.
Victor, you continue to bring it each and every week. And while we may not agree on everything, it's still very fun and friendly. We like to keep it civil there. So love how you bring it every episode, man.
Oh, we're just having fun here. We love it.
Absolutely. So with that, we will wrap up today's show. I want to give a big shout-out to today's sponsors, River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill, Oh for Heaven's Cakes, and Redemption Shield. We welcome you to join us live for all future episodes every other Thursday at 1 p.m. here on Grand Forks Best Source. Make sure to like, share, tag, follow us on all our shows. Many thanks for having us part of your day. Once again, many thanks to Victor.
Thank you, guys. And I know this show was a little bit crazy, but we like it crazy. And remember, we're going to give you everything from pop culture to more. So keep watching. And remember, help us get to that 5 years, bro. We need you.
That's right. 11 months away. Many thanks to Harvester of Sorrow, producer Paul.
He's with us in spirit.
Yes. Rocking production. We will see you all in 2 weeks as we eke closer and closer to that summer movie blockbuster season, perhaps kind of kicking it off with our review of Godzilla Cross Kong.
Yes.
Until then, have a great rest of your week, everyone. Have a happy Easter this weekend. Goodbye.
See you later.